Our next presentation will be given by Elizabeth Negron on Enterovirus D68, the Pennsylvania experience. Thank you. Today I'm going to talk about the sequence of events that we went through in Pennsylvania and show results of our disease surveillance and syndromic surveillance. So it all started on September 8th, and we'd like to thank our colleagues in Illinois and Missouri for their early work on this, describing this outbreak. When this first came up, we very quickly set up sentinel surveillance in our state at five of the key people. When this first was announced in the public health community, we set up sentinel surveillance at five key pediatric hospitals in Pennsylvania. And about a week later, we have our first cluster identified in Philadelphia. This is a sample of the press release from the Pennsylvania Department of Health and Philadelphia Department of Public Health. And that same day, we released a health advisory that really was a repetition of what was presented by the CDC. And we asked for providers to report clusters to us, although we really didn't get reports of clusters as much as we got providers reporting information about individual cases. So in the following 2.5 months, we received many specimens in the state, 134 specimens from 126 patients, and the graph at the bottom shows the specimens that were forwarded to our public health lab. And just as a note, after the advisory about neurologic illness, we did see a little bump up in interest in people being tested. So for purposes of case definition, in Pennsylvania, any patient that had lab detection of enterovirus D68 was considered a case, and we counted 49 cases, which was 39% of the patients that were tested. And of note, four of those were patients that were also counted as confirmed cases of acute flaccid paralysis. Our median age was 4 years, and we did have several adults that were tested, although only one adult was had lab detection of enterovirus D68. The preponderance of our cases were male among those that had the sex reported, and we did not have any fatalities. The Department of Health chose to report to the press cases by region, by public health region, and the majority of our cases were in the southeastern part of the state, which is our major population center of Pennsylvania. This is the epi curve of cases, and as a note, the bars that are in red are the four cases who also were confirmed cases of acute flaccid paralysis. As was presented with the Illinois experience, we also presented or reported information on syndromic surveillance, and we use EpiCenter in Pennsylvania. And this is a graph that we submitted. Of note, this goes back to August of 2013, just to show the trend. And we were curious how, if we overlay the EPI curve with the syndromic surveillance, how that lined up. And this is the lineup. This is how they compare, which is fairly comparable. So we did have several challenges because it's not a nationally notifiable disease and not reportable in Pennsylvania. It was a little challenging. And there was a case form that the CDC provided, but it was very cumbersome to go back. Providers just really wanted to send specimens to the lab to be tested. So we did it for a couple of days, but it was too cumbersome. And then eventually our resources got reprioritized to people that work. And lessons learned, it really showed us the advantage of utilizing sentinel surveillance for situations like this and outbreaks. We really made good key connections with the key pediatric facilities in Pennsylvania. And it also shows the usefulness of syndromic surveillance to show the scope and the trend of the outbreak. Thank you.